Now, more people are becoming victims of online dating scams. Here in the UK, according to the National Fraud Intelligence Bureau, there were more than 3,000 victims of so-called romance fraud in 2016. I've been speaking to Val, a victim of a dating scam, and also Tara McDonald, who's a former detective who now runs a matchmaking service.
Basically, I'd been widowed a couple of years earlier. With a couple of friends of mine, we decided to go online and try internet dating. I met a guy who said he was a soldier in Iraq, who was also widowed. He'd gone out there to escape from the pain of losing his wife. I could relate to it in a conversation I had with Tara earlier. These people mirror your circumstances. So you're building a bond quite quickly, quite deeply, because you think you're the same. So projection, really, in many ways. He would go out on patrol and be very worried. I'd sit up all night waiting to hear from him that he was coming back. Then a couple of months into it, one night he doesn't email me when he gets back in. I have 36 hours not hearing from him. I'm convinced that something terrible's happened. I check everything in the media. That was the play. After that, he told me he'd had a really hairy time out there and he really wanted to come home. And he got involved with a scheme that would get him enough money to get out if only I would help him.
And how much did you give him?
I gave him £8,000 altogether.
And you'd never met him?
I'd never met him, no.
And Tara, you're a former detective, now a matchmaker. But what do you make of that story that Val's just explaining? I mean, it's really pulling at your heartstrings, isn't it?
It is, and that is what these organised crime gangs do. That is their job. They don't do anything apart from learn how to touch on victims' vulnerabilities. We were talking earlier and we did say how they mirror, you know, Val was widowed, he happened to be widowed. If Val had lost her parents, oh, he would have lost his parents as well. If Val had children, then he would have had children around the same age. So they mirror constantly and they're touching at all those vulnerabilities.
And he was very clever because I was lonely having been widowed. And one of the things that I'd mentioned was that I missed when I travelled actually being able to tell anyone that I got there safely. So the next thing was the minute I went anywhere, it was, you must email me as soon as you get there. And it was that. And that was...
You felt loved.
I felt loved.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved every minute of it. I have to tell you, I did. And that experience of loving every minute of it stayed with me. I'm lucky in a way because I have a real sense of humour. And that's why I would say we called it a romanticy.
Right, okay.
It didn't exist, really.
Yeah, it didn't exist,
but it was real in my head. And in actual fact, you know, if we look at neuroscience, if we look at the brain, you know, imagine you're eating a lemon. Anyone listening, try sucking a lemon now. Imagine you're doing it. Your mouth will now start to salivate because what's going on in your imagination is actually there. So it is real at one level. So that happiness was real. And it reminded me about what being happy felt like, because I'd lost that having been widowed, and that had been a really traumatic experience, because I'd nursed my husband for 2 years and that had been an ongoing battle. My big thing is don't let a bad experience make the rest of your life bad.
It's lovely to hear your positivity about it, isn't it? But I suppose, Tara, there are a lot of people that perhaps won't have even admitted that it's happening. That might be happening to them right now.
What you have is you have people in their mid-50s that have given over maybe £170,000, and that's their nest egg for the future. So to start your life again in your mid-50s, when you've pretty much lost everything, is pretty hard. A lot of people can't do that.
So they need to look out for these sob stories, don't they? They need to look out for the mirroring that you mentioned. Yeah. But what are the people on these sites doing about preventing this from happening to people?
They have got advice on there. So the dating advice is there. But as I mentioned earlier, it needs to be more prominent. And it's almost too late by the time the police get involved, because the person has handed over the money and it's too late. They've been scammed. It's hard to catch these criminals. They do catch some of them, but they're a very large organised crime. Crime gang, they operate in maybe tens, maybe twenties, and they might catch two or three of them, but you'll never get the victim's money back, or you're not likely to get it back.
Are you back online dating, Val, now?
No.
But you haven't been put off all dating, though?
No, not at all.
Okay,
no.
Life goes on.
Life goes
on, finding love anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you find love in yourself and it comes back to you.
Oh, that was Val talking to me a little earlier. She lost, as I say, $6,000, £8,000 to somebody who tricked her online. That was also Tara McDonald, a former detective who now runs a matchmaking service, talking to me about these online dating scams, which seem to be increasing all the time.